This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1 o'clock. This is Nation Radio. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk to Jonathan Willis from the Cult of Hockey of Edmonton Journal and the Nation's Network. Also, Grantland will ask him to give us the starting lineups for the Edmonton Oilers. Been sitting around doing nothing all summer. At least he can do is that. And we're joined now by Jason Strudwick from Oilers Nation. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Good, good. I just want to relive a moment from a couple of weeks ago, if I can, Jason. I'm on the golf course for the Team 1260 golf get together with all our clients and listeners, and it's always a great time. And I'm in my usual pose. I'm talking with a beverage in my hand, and I hear four. And it missed me by about a quarter of an inch.
I know. I tell you what. Honestly, I felt so bad. I didn't really know you. And here I am dropping a grenade right on your lap. I felt pretty bad. You know what? I'm not usually that guy. Usually I'm really pretty accurate. So you must have really rattled me. I must have seen you there. I got all rattled. That's why I put it there. So it's your celebrity status that killed me.
That's probably what it is. Actually, the truth of the matter is I didn't see it. All of the three people that were around me went, oh, my God. And I'm like, where is it? I didn't see it or feel it. Meant nothing to me. Let's talk a little bit about I mentioned on Oilers Nation this morning, and then through the last hour, talked about the articles that you've written recently on Oilers Nation about your draft year and then about free agency as well. You do a really nice job of explaining that leading up to the draft and getting taken in the third round. For the kids who were just drafted recently, like I'll use Mitchell Moraz as an example, it must be a little bit of a blur. How long does it take to sink in that you've been drafted and an NHL team is interested in you?
Well, I mean, it's a dream for all kids to get drafted. So I think, you know, they tell you it's happening, and for me, I could hardly believe it. You know, like, I knew it was probably going to happen. I didn't expect it to be that early. And all of a sudden, you are drafted, and you're just kind of sitting there like, okay, now what? And then when you do realize you've been drafted, that's when you realize how much work, or you should realize how much work. The work really just starts now, because you have to get into the NHL. Getting drafted just opens the door. It doesn't mean you're in the NHL. It just means there's a door now that shows you the way. And you got to put a lot of time and work in to get through that door. So it's pretty intimidating, but you got to kind of take it day by day, and you know, eventually, hopefully, you make it.
Now, did you have a development camp with the Islanders that year, or was it just a matter of going to training camp?
Yeah, we did. We had one, and that was kind of the beginning of when they had development camps. And they weren't anything as organized as they are now. You know, we went on the ice a few times and ran each other, maybe got in a couple fights, and then we had a chubby trainer walk in and tell us not to eat fast food and to do squats, push-ups, and ride the bike. So that was about it. Now these kids go in, it's a whole week of information, and there's, you know, I think the Oilers have, you know, five or six, seven guys in the development program, so there's lots of resources these young guys can use. And you know, I'm jealous. I wish I would have had that when I was growing, or when I was, you know, trying to get into NHL. You know, a skating instructor, a fitness instructor, a mind instructor, all this stuff that, you know, there's really no excuse. If you have questions about how you should develop, or if you're not developing at the pace you think you should, there's no reason for you not to seek out help, because almost every NHL team now has a similar setup.
Jason, at what age would you suggest that young players start really getting serious about it? Like, you know, nutrition, seeking help, as you say. Is 15, 16 too late? Or what's a good age for them to start doing that sort of thing?
Well, you know, this is a question I get asked all the time. And the thing I tell parents is you don't make the NHL at 15 or 16. And quite honestly, for most guys, you don't make the NHL till you're 20, 21, 23, you know, 25. It's different. So you just got to get in shape. You know, you don't have to hire a fancy trainer. You know, some people can, I know it's expensive, and some people can afford it. But you go on the internet and you look around, there's going to be programs to suggest what you need to do. For me, what I did is I just went for runs every day with my dog, and I do push-ups and sit-ups. You know, it's not a hard recipe. The biggest thing to be successful in anything, especially hockey, is you have to put in effort. You know, I've sat down with a lot of kids whose parents asked me to talk to them. And quite honestly, you know, I can tell within 5 minutes if the kid's not committed. You know, you have to want to do it. It's not the parents that want to do it, or your uncle, or you know, your best friend that thinks you need to do it. The kid has to be able to want to do it. He has to put the time in. There's no shortcuts to the NHL. You have to put the work in every day. And you don't need a fancy trainer, and you don't need to be, you know, chucking all these weights around. You just have to be doing it consistently and working out and getting ready to go. And as far as diet, it's not that hard. I think this chubby trainer, you know, 20 years ago that told me not to eat fast food was pretty much right on. I mean, if you can avoid fast food, you're well on your way to being a healthy eater.
And does it get, now you've recently retired, but does it get more difficult every year to get in shape to the point where you can play at the NHL level?
Well, I think the competition gets higher. You know, every year you got to push yourself higher. And, you know, to be honest, all the kids who are drafted this year, they're just at the beginning of working out hard enough. You know, every guy in the NHL that's successful, and when I say successful, I mean a guy who plays, you know, plays 300-400 games plus. There's guys that can drift in for a year or two and have some success if they're not in shape. But oftentimes, their conditioning catches up to them, and the league catches up with them, and they fall out of the league. But the guys that are successful for a long time are the guys that are in the best shape. And the top players are in incredible shape. So if you want to compete at that level, you got to put your time in. And just like I said, it's a lifestyle. You know, you just don't become an NHL player on just sheer talent alone.
Your articles on free agency, I found fascinating because it really gave a kind of a feel about what you and your agent would talk about as a priority. You mentioned that Western Conference and being on a team that didn't necessarily have a player who had duplicate skills were your priorities. But those June 30th when you went to bed not knowing where you're going to play, it must be exciting, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking too, right?
I think that's what sometimes, you know, the media misses. They talk about TSN or Sportsnet or whatever, they'll talk about, you know, how everyone's going to have this huge windfall, you know, the Zach Parises of the world or the, you know, Suitors of the world. But there's a lot of guys that are kind of that middle tier who aren't sure where they're going to end up and if they will end up somewhere. And it can be stressful. So you lay it out with your agent and you kind of work it out. But like I said in those articles, if you wake up, you know, or you go to bed June 30th and you're not sure. Now, there's quite a few times I resigned the team I was with. And quite frankly, I never understood why they let it go past July 1st. Yeah, and a couple of times, I actually had a couple other deals in place, and I had to call that team and say, if you don't want me back, I'm leaving. And they said, oh, no, we'll do it. And I never understood why they risked that. Maybe they had other choices, or they wanted to make other choices, and those fell through. I'm not sure. I'm not privy to the conversations of the general managers. But it was it's an interesting time, and I went through 10, and I don't know, that's got to be close to a record in the NHL.
And I bet you slept much better this June 30th.
Oh, I couldn't care less. I was so, I mean, obviously I love playing in the NHL, and there's a lot of great things, but there are some stressful aspects. And I speak to a little bit in the articles about when you have your friends always asking you, and you're even sometimes your family. The first couple of years, I was pretty open. Then after that, I kept a pretty tight lid on. I didn't really tell anybody what was going on because it is stressful. You're trying to sort it out, and they want to know, and then the rumors spread, and you know, everyone means best, but it's after a while, it kind of becomes more private, and I really figured out quickly that's the way to go.
In conversation with Jason Strudwick from Oilers Nation, Jason, is the free agency July 1st as or almost as stressful as trade deadline, or is trade deadline the big one?
You know what? They're different.
Okay.
You know, trade deadline, when you're on, it depends what kind of team you're on. If you're on a winning team, most times teams are going to add, you know, they're going to add players. They're not subtracting players.
Mm-hmm.
They'll subtract prospects to get top players who can play on the roster right now. But when you're on your bad team, you know, everyone is up for grabs. I remember the one year that they traded Grebishkov from the Oilers and Steos and all that. And I thought, you know, and then my name was, someone told me my name from the organization said I was going to get traded. So I went on this road trip and I didn't want to get traded. You know, quite frankly, I was happy to be in Edmonton and I just wanted to finish off my time there. I wasn't looking to get traded. But when you hear that, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get traded. So it's a little different. You have no control over it. Whereas on July 1st, you have way more control.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. You played in Europe for a couple of seasons. I talked to Sean Brown last summer, just about the same time, and he said he loved playing in Europe after his NHL career was over because he got to enjoy the game, you know, touch the puck more, make the pass, do things that he hadn't been able to do in the NHL because the get rid of the puck was what he'd been doing for 10 years. Did you have a similar experience when you played in Europe?
Yeah, he couldn't be more right. I mean, it's so much fun for guys like Brownie and I. You know, we kept it very simple, and I mean, we got into a lot of fights, and I don't regret fighting at all. But you know, it is nice just to go out there and not have to worry about fighting. You can just kind of battle around and play a bit. So it was fun. We had a really good time. I've been in three different countries, and I definitely loved it. So you know, I'd say it was really a tough thing not to go back again this year. But at some point, you kind of have to just shut her down and do something else. So it it was a great experience, and I'd recommend to anyone who has the option to do that.
Do you, and I don't want to pry too much, but are you comfortable with your decision to retire? Is that something that you've come to grips with and you're happy where you are?
Oh, I'm really happy. You know what? I was so lucky. I had an incredible run. You know, 17 years of professional hockey. If you told the guy who was just drafted, you know, whatever it was, 18, 19 years ago, that would happen, I wouldn't have believed you. So it was incredible. And we had, I have a lot of great memories, but there's a point where you just kind of run out of gas. And I definitely ran out of gas. I could even tell my last year in Edmonton, I lost a little bit of the edge I had. Now, maybe that was partly because we were so brutal. But, you know, also you just kind of run out of juice. And I'm lucky to be able to kind of end when I wanted to end. I mean, I could have kept playing here for probably, I bet you, another 3 years at least. But it was kind of nice to just end when I was healthy and feeling good and move on to the next step of life.
It takes a lot of energy, though, to carry Dustin Nielsen and Jason Gregor around on the radio, though, right?
Oh, man. Trying to drag these guys up is hard every time I go in there. But, you know, honestly, they've been really good. And the Team 1260, all the guys there have been really good trying to teach me how to, maybe become and get into the radio and the media business. And the nice thing is now I feel like I know everything. I'm a media expert, so it's great.
It's just a little toggle switch on the wall, right? You instantly become an expert.
Exactly. I wish I would have known all this stuff when I was still playing. I would have been a better player.
Speaking of expert analysis, the Oilers have made some moves. I think they've done very well this summer. How do you feel about what the Oilers have done since the summer started to improve the team?
Well, I mean, they haven't really added anyone other than Schultz, and I really like that. I mean, the nice thing about that is we all hope he works out and he plays well and he becomes the player that everyone expects. But if he doesn't, it didn't cost him any asset to bring him in. Mm-hmm. You know, he's basically a free agent signing, or he is a free agent signing. It doesn't cost anything. It was really easy. So he's a great little addition, and I hope they're really respectful with his development stuff. But, bringing back Ryan Smith, I think we all knew that was going to happen. And then signing Dubnyk and Petrie so early, and for 2 years, gives a lot of time and flexibility for them to continue to develop and not to worry about their contract issues.
What about on the blue line? I think they need to add another guy. Do you agree with that? And what kind of player should they bring on the blue line if they need one?
Oh, yeah. No, I think for sure they have to bring another player. I think maybe a guy that can move the puck. You know, I think they have the bangers at the back end with Peckham and Sutton and Tubert. You know, I don't know where he fits in the whole picture, but they definitely need to bring in another guy to add depth. And it's not because I don't believe in the guys they have currently in the top five spots, but I think if history teaches anything, is that there's major injuries on the back end of the Oilers that happen every year. And they can't afford to lose two or three guys and not have puck-moving replacements for them. So, you know, Jonathan Willis, I saw, wrote an article about Michael Roosevelt, and he's a guy I played with, and I think he'd be a guy you could probably target. And I don't know what he'd be looking for as far as contract and term, but if you get him for a year or two at a reasonable number, I think it really makes a lot of sense.
You know, and you make a great point because, you know, we always talk about the top seven. It turns out they need a dozen or 14 every year just because of the injuries, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And injuries, they'll just kill you. And for whatever reason, Oilers have had a lot of problems with injuries, you know, the last 4, 5, 6 years, whatever. So they have to really address that and bring in more depth. And it seems like it always affects the top guys on the lineup. You know, your Whitneys and all these others, you know, Smead, these types of guys go down. Gilbert went down. So they got to bring in guys who can, you know, you can't replace those guys, but you can bring guys who can hopefully hold down the fort for 5, 10, or 15 games while they get healthy.
Jason, did you ever have an injury where you were out a long time, like, you know, half a year or, you know, 40, 50 games?
No, you know what? I was really, really lucky. I never missed anything like that. The longest I did was six weeks, and that's I hurt my back. I actually hurt my back in a bag skate, so that was kind of useless. But, you know, I was able to get healthy pretty quick, but knock on wood, I think a lot of my preparation and working out and all that helped me avoid those types of situations.
Well, you know what, Jason, I thank you so much for your time. This was a very interesting interview and very insightful, as always. And thanks for so much, and you enjoy your family and have a great summer.
I will. You know what? I owe you a beer for almost killing you on the golf course. So next time I see you, we'll sit down and have one, and we'll try to avoid that.
I will enjoy.
Ball hitting you.
I'll look forward to that very much. Have a great summer,
okay.
Jason. Okay.
Talk to you there. Right on.
That's bye-bye. Jason Strudwick from Oilers Nation, and of course you can catch him on Team 1260 as well. Some great insight there, and very forthcoming about the Oilers too, and what he thinks they might want to add. And you know what? I suspect the Oilers will do something over the next few weeks to add a defenseman for the NHL team, and you know it's funny because it's about a dozen players, I think, last year who played on the blue line for Edmonton, and every year it seems like you go to camp, and I'm just thinking about Ryan Whitney right now. You know, he came back and he was improving as time went on, and I know he'll get a summer of conditioning and hopefully be back where he needs to be. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers, can you count on that? And I think the answer probably is no. So speaking of Jonathan Willis, he'll be up next. We're going to talk about the Oilers in free agency, at the draft, and more. So stay tuned. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.